Joining us now, Brian Fisher from Athlon, kind enough to join us for our weekly conversation. Can't thank him enough for doing this every week. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you guys.
Always a pleasure. And again, you can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher. So there's a lot going on here in the state, a lot of interesting football being played right now. BYU now 3-0, undefeated with three wins against the Pac-12. Right now they're nationally ranked. They're a top 15 team. Just how far can this season go for BYU now?
Well, I think it could kind of trend towards what happened last year, just in terms of that conversation continuing to build throughout the season. And I think what's different, you know, now this time around is obviously coming off of last year, you kind of have perception kind of behind the sails there for the Cougars. And then on top of that, you add these Power 5 wins, that just kind of enhances their resume. And I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't expect any stiff resistance from USF this week. But, if you're still knocking off Boise State down the road and you still have those other games against Baylor and Washington State and certainly USC at the end of the year, if they're rolling into that, you know, that late November stretch undefeated, then I think you're going to continue to hear the kind of the same drumbeat that we had last year. And I think that instead of the schedule being a net negative in terms of that perception, it's going to be a positive. It's definitely going to be enhanced, especially given a lot of the chaos elsewhere. But I've been just so impressed at what they've been able to do in retooling in so many different areas. They're certainly a lot stouter than I think we all expected along some of the lines. And, the offense, I mean, hats off to what they've been able to do. Replacing a number two overall draft pick is not easy, especially at schools like BYU. And it's been kind of seamless. There's been some sputtering at times, but this has been an impressive start. And I think really speak to what Kalani Sitake has built there up in Provo.
Okay, so, Brian, from your big picture perspective, and understanding what you know about the Pac-12 South, you got a 24-16 win over Arizona, 26-17 win over Utah, 27-17 win over Arizona State. How impressive are those three wins to you, and how impressed should BYU fans be about those three wins?
Well, I think you can throw the Arizona win out. I mean, I think that is just not a great football team. And it's certainly a rebuilding situation there for Jed Fish. I think, the Utah one, obviously, it's a rivalry game. I think the Utes can still kind of bounce back this year and put together a pretty good year. But they're a state, program in flux right now. And so BYU caught them at the right time, but that's still a program that I think can contend for the Pac-12 South. We'll see how they regroup here. But I think the ASU victory, that is the one you can really kind of hold your hat on, because, coming into the year, if it had not been for the NCAA investigation, I think Arizona State would have been the trendy pick to come out of the South in the Pac-12. You had Jaden Daniels, a multi-year starter. You had the offensive line really building towards this moment down there in Tempe. And then, a skill position talent, especially on defense, that was fast and also physical. And so, I think that ASU win is definitely going to stack up pretty favorably, in terms of where their resume lies. That's going to be the one they're going to hang their hat on until probably the end of the year when they play USC.
Brian Fisher joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Charlie Brewer has left the University of Utah. They go to Cam Rising at quarterback. Give us your assessment on how things are at the University of Utah right now, and is this a sign for a season that could be a long, long struggling year, or could Utah turn this thing around?
The thing about the Utes this year is, all the assumptions that we kind of made about the program that we were used to relying on, that just hasn't kind of run true so far in the year. You kind of expected, right, well, they've typically been very good along the offensive line. They found bodies to, replace guys from year to year. And, frankly, that's kind of been the source of the frustrations this year is the offensive line has not been kind of living up to expectations. And, I think the quarterback play, was certainly having issues as a result of that. And I think, how many words in the offseason did we all write and talk about, Charlie Brewer being potentially that missing piece? And it turns out he's now the missing piece, for real now. And so I think you go back to that game against San Diego State, Cam Rising certainly added a bit of a different element to the offense. You kind of struggle in terms of, was that just San Diego State not being prepared for him? Or was he, truly the spark that this offense needed to kind of get things going? I think he did, show some flashes of some things that you can kind of hang your hat on and hope that, you can build on if you're the Utes, especially because he's the guy going forward now. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of takes things and runs with it. But, this is, Kyle Whittingham, he knows challenges like this. I would expect him to kind of get things turned around, but there's no rest for the weary, given the schedule and some of the opponents that they had to face down the stretch. So, this team, what they have to do on the field is going to be predicated towards just simply improving the areas that we all expect. I mean, look at special teams. How many years did you kind of say you can almost set your watch by Utah special teams? And that's been an area they've struggled with. So, getting those areas where I think the team has traditionally been very good at, getting those areas right is kind of going to be the name of the game, so to speak, these next couple of weeks as they get into the thick of the Pac-12 schedule.
So, Brian, I wanted to talk to you about these one-and-done super senior transfers or even a junior transfer. So we got a really bad taste in our mouth right now here in the state of Utah. Jake Bentley came in for a short period when Cam Rising went down and just didn't look good. Obviously, you saw the news. Charlie Brewer, the Baylor transfer quarterback, just up and left the program yesterday, as has been mentioned. I want a national perspective on super senior transfers or even a two-and-done quarterback transfer. How much success are they having nationally?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think this is kind of the issue that when you talk with coaches, that they have with the portal. It is great that you can kind of have a guy who certainly is used to, playing college, the things like, your facilities, tours and all that, not really going to phase them as much, that they're interested in playing time. They're interested in filling those roster spots. But at the same time, the recruiting process, so to speak, with a lot of these transfers, you're not spending, months or even weeks, recruiting guys like you are in high school. You're spending, a couple days, usually. And so, that get to know you process and finding the right fit culturally and within that program, I think is certainly led to some big misses across the country, not just in the state of Utah, but I think all over the place. And, there's success stories. I mean, look no further than Michigan State. If you're ranking your top five Heisman candidates, I would think Kenneth Walker III, the running back there, is going to find his way onto the ballot there. And that's been a terrific pickup through the portal from Mel Tucker. And he's had to do a lot of work, with that roster in terms of turning things over, getting guys, really just an infusion of talent. And it's worked wonders so far up there in East Lansing. You've had other issues, I think, around the country. You look at USC. Obviously, Clay Helton getting fired, I think, has exacerbated things. But that's a program that you would think would be traditionally kind of heavy in terms of the high school recruiting, just the way they can attract things. But they've taken a lot of transfers, and they've been kind of hit or miss so far early in the season. So, it really is a complete mixed bag, I think, across the country. And a lot of it just kind of comes down to, can you nail that right fit in terms of not only the player and the player's production on the field, but also off the field in terms of how is he or she, how are they going to really fit into the program, correctly. And I think that's something that a lot of coaches struggle with. Whether it's football, whether it's men and women's basketball, whether it's soccer, I think it's a new era certainly for college athletics with that one-time transfer rule, and coaches are having to adjust. And I think that's why it's an inexact science in recruiting, and even more so in terms of the transfer portal, given that everybody's priorities are shifted just a bit.
I do the play-by-play for Utah State. They've got a big one against Boise. Both teams 3-0 coming up on Saturday morning. But Boise has struggled running the ball. They struggle stopping the run, but they've also played a couple of really good teams in Oklahoma State and in Central Florida as well, and given up leads in those games. What's your early assessment of Boise State, and do you know why they've gotten off to some struggles in the early part of the season?
Well, I think a lot of it can just be kind of boiled down to a new coaching staff coming in and a first-time head coach in Andiopoulos, who I think is still the right fit for that program and is going to do a lot of good work up there in Boise. But there's no doubt about it. It's a bit of a transition after so many years under Brian Harsin, and let's face it, he's much more of a defensive-minded head coach, obviously, and so. That program mentality that he's kind of trying to impose, a little bit of extra toughness I think it's just kind of taking a little bit longer. And, I think they've been tremendously unlucky in that Oklahoma State game, certainly down the stretch in terms of some of the blown calls and all that. And I know they don't want to kind of harp on that, but, it really did, kind of offer a missed opportunity. They were unable to kind of close things out down there in Orlando against UCF. But, like you're saying, this is a good football team. I think when you look at what they've been able to do, they just haven't quite got over the edge. And that's kind of speaks to the finite nature of in college football as to the margins. And they're finding themselves on the wrong end of the stick. Whereas previously, I think for decades, we're so used to them finding themselves in the winning column on those type of coin flip games. And, it's going to be a learning process. They've still got a lot of talent. I think they're still, they've got a quarterback in Hank Bachmeyer, I think, that they can count on. I think the running game probably not quite where they want it to be in terms of not only the running backs but the offensive line as well. And I think there's still a defense that is getting used to how things are being called and being adjusted that way. So I think they can rely on a lot of things. I think they'll get right here with Mountain West play coming up. But a tough opponent in Utah State. I mean, Blake Anderson's done a really good job in a short amount of time. With the Aggies, and I can't wait to watch that game. I think that's one I have circled in the early window there.
Brian, as you know, this area can't trust anything Pac-12 at this point. If it looks good, typically it's not, and if it is being hyped, typically it's overhyped. But the Oregon Ducks get a big win against Ohio State 2 weeks ago. They kind of wrap things up with Stony Brook. Now they start into their Pac-12 conference schedule. Oregon is ranked number 3, and they look to be good. How much are you buying or how much are you selling Oregon through their Pac-12 schedule and what they can possibly do in the Pac-12?
Well, it is tricky because, on paper, certainly they have the talent. They have the big wins. They know how to win those big football games. But, as history has told us, it is difficult to go undefeated in the Pac-12 schedule, and I think Oregon was the last time to do it back when they made their way to the national title game in 2014, and they've had trip ups, under Mario Cristobal. You go back to the Arizona State game not too long ago with Justin Herbert, and that kind of ruining their college football playoff chances, and just given the nature of the Pac-12 and in terms of playing those late night games, in terms of playing games on the road after tough losses at night, I think it's always just been a difficult slate in terms of finding that consistency throughout. But luckily they're good along the offensive and defensive lines. They have maybe the best player in college football when he's healthy in Kayvon Thibodeau, and I think they have a skill position collection of players that is really underrated. I know a lot of focus has been on Anthony Brown and the quarterback position, but their running backs are fast. They're tremendous at wide receiver in terms of their depth, and defensively, I think they've got some playmakers, especially on all three levels that have shown up in these big time games. But they've got some tricky spots. I mean, they're on the road at Stanford, they're on the road at UCLA in the next couple of weeks. I think those are really the key games. And I think, they're coming to Salt Lake City late in the year too. So, there are some tricky spots, especially on the road away from Austin, that they still got to navigate. But in terms of perception, head and shoulders above everybody else in the conference. But as we have seen in the past, that doesn't mean a whole lot. This is a conference that has typically produced those upsets that you do not see coming. And that's something that Mario Cristobal and the rest of the Ducks have to be aware of.
Brian Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So is everything fine in Green Bay? I mean, Aaron Rodgers played like Aaron Rodgers normally does. Was the week one just a little bit of an aberration, or is it going to be a little bit of a roller coaster for a season for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Yeah, I think they got back to the basics there, and I almost wanted him to kind of throw one of those touchdown passes and lift up his T-shirt to have that relax shirt on underneath. I mean, that would have been really appropriate for Aaron. But listen, Green Bay is a team that has not lost a whole lot of times in the regular season under Matt LaFleur, and I do think that was much more of an aberration in week one. You know, they were running the ball a little bit better. You got to look on the horizon as well. They're going to get David Bakhtiari back at left tackle. That's going to help the entire offensive line, just the way you shuffle those guys in there. And I think, you know, it was a bit of a wake-up call, you know, really for the rest of the organization. You know, I know there's so many off-season distractions. You know, a loss like that, a humbling loss like that, can kind of get everybody refocused and back on the same page. And it certainly looked like it for the, especially in that second half against Detroit. But, you know, there's no rest. This is a tough task they have coming up on Sunday night against San Francisco, which has been a bit of a boogeyman, you know, for them earlier in you know, Aaron's career a couple of years ago. I think this is going to be a huge test in terms of the NFC playoff picture. We already know how difficult the West looks this year, and to get a win like that, you know, especially on the road, I think would work wonders in terms of calming everybody down up in Green Bay and saying this is still, again, you know, one of those contenders in the NFC you have to count on. They've been right there so close the last couple of years. If they truly do want to get over the hump and get back to the Super Bowl, they've got to win games like this coming up.
Tampa Bay had a good fight against Dallas, 31-29, but made it look really easy at times against the Falcons. And they say they can play better, and Tom Brady says that they can play better. Got a good test against the Rams coming up, I believe it's this Sunday. And they've got a good test. They have actually got a couple of good tests coming up in the next couple of weeks. But is Tampa Bay for real? Are they the favorites to win it again?
I think so. I mean, anytime you win the Super Bowl and you basically bring back the entire roster, and you bring back the entire roster full of guys that just are true superstars at their position. I mean, obviously Tom Brady has the rings, but you look at their running back position and they are stacked up and down the lineup. I mean, they've got almost too many guys there in the backfield that need some carries. You have, you know, wide receivers. They lose Anthony Brown to the COVID list today, and you know, they still got Gronk. They still got, you know, Mike Evans, and those guys are still making plays. And so they have one of the better offensive lines in football. And I think you saw last week in particular against the Falcons, the defense looked even better, you know, I think, than they did against the Cowboys. I mean, Dallas is a tricky situation in terms of the talent that they can throw on the field and what they do schematically. But, you know, that defense looked like it did at the end of last year, just how they were flying all over the place. And I think that is the biggest reason why, you know, Tampa is still the favorite to kind of not only repeat across the league, but, you know, certainly make the run in the NFC is they've got just talent everywhere, and it's all back. And it is a long season. You know, we do have that 17th game. You never know with injuries. You got to kind of throw that qualifier out there. But the way they've looked so far and handling two pretty solid tests early in the year, it remains to be seen if anybody is going to knock it, you know, Tampa off that spot, especially in the NFC. Just there's a lot of, you know, teams vying for that top spot, but Tom Brady has this group focus. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows how special it would be to have this group repeat. And I think they're going after it, and they're going after it hard with what they can throw out there on the field, just from a talent perspective.
So, did the Broncos finally find a quarterback, or is it just they play 2 week teams and they'll play 3 week teams to start the season?
Well, I think, yeah, you got to throw the schedule in there. You know, that is definitely, you got to keep that in the back of the mind. And we'll see the next couple of weeks, you know, after they kind of get through this early season stretch. I mean, you know, you're playing one of the AFC contenders in Baltimore, and you have that Steelers defense coming up on the road as well. You know, Vegas's defense, especially with that front four and the way they're rushing, can make things interesting. But I think overall Teddy Bridgewater is delivering what Teddy Bridgewater typically delivers, you know, a real solid, consistent baseline. And with the skill position talent that they've got, the way they're able to run the football, that, you know, get the wide receivers out off those play action passes, you know, don't turn the ball over. He's doing all of those things. And that's simply what Denver has been missing these last couple of years. And so he has been as advertised. We will see certainly when the schedule ramps up in terms of can he make those tight window throws when they need it in the fourth quarter. You know, that still remains to be seen. I still think this is a team that's maybe a little bit behind, certainly Kansas City and San Diego, just in terms of the overall talent level and what they can throw out there on the field. But That AFC West, man, if Denver is playing like this against the meat of that schedule, watch out, because that is just an absolutely brutal, brutal division. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to play a role in that. How he fares, he can have these string of games at times to where he is looking really good, and then he'll just throw in a clunker. And I think that's what Denver and what Teddy Bridgewater ultimately, kind of have to guard against is that game where you throw two or three interceptions and things just don't work out for you. You got to protect against that. And so far, so good up there in Denver, and we'll see how they kind of navigate the stretch after they get through with these easy wins.
Brian, appreciate your time as always. Great insight as always, and look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Great to be on with you guys.
Brian Fisher on the Smart Rain guest line. Best of state winner, Smart Rain, having an end-of-season sale on their irrigation smart controllers. Save 50% off each smart controller purchased. Offer available to all Commercial Property Zone listeners. Visit smartrain.net and schedule that demo today.